Your Majesty, if you're a king, you wouldn't be afraid of anything?
Not nobody. Not nohow.
Not even a rhinoceros?
Imposterous.
How about a hippopotamus?
Why, I'd thrash him from top to bottom.
Supposing you met an elephant?
I'd wrap him up in cellophane.
What if it were a brontosaurus?
I'd show him who was king of the forest.
How?
How? Courage. What makes a king out of a slave? Courage. What makes the flag on the mast to wave? Courage. What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty mist or the dusky dusk? What makes the muskrat guard his musk? Courage. What makes the sphinx the seventh wonder? Courage. What makes the dawn come up like thunder? Courage. What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape in apricot? What have they got that I ain't got?
Courage.
You could say that again.
Now, if you didn't recognize where that came from, it's from my favorite movie of all time, The Wizard of Oz. And I find it quite humorous that the Cowardly Lion talks about courage. And one of the last things it says in there, he says, "What do they have that I haven't got?" And they all look at him and say, "Courage." And so tonight, that's what we're going to talk about, is courage. So what do you have that you should have? Courage. How many of you in here have courage tonight? Wow, we're in trouble. Well, we all have different definitions of courage. And some of them revolve around our heroes, and some we find on display every day. You know, we look at different people in different ways and say they're really courageous. They have a lot of charisma or whatever it is. And some, we say some things, man, it takes a lot of courage for you to go through what you're going through. In the founding of our country, we see men that stood in the face of tyranny and shouted for freedom. The signers of our Declaration of Independence said things with meaning, and they didn't back down. And some of those guys said these things. Benjamin Franklin said, "They that can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." John Hancock said, "We must be unanimous. There must be no pulling different ways. We must hang together." John Hancock said, "We must be unanimous." Sorry, "We must be unanimous." I've already read that one. We'll try again. Abraham Clark said, "Let us prepare for the worst. We can die here but once." Thomas Paine said, "To argue with a person who has renounced the use of reason is like administering medicine to the dead." And Lewis Morris said, "Stand upright, speak thy thoughts, declare the truth that thou hast, that they all may share. Be bold, proclaim it everywhere. They only live who dare." Those are some of the greatest men that we have in our country, and some of the things that they said. You know, it's kind of opposite of what the Cowardly Lion. You know, he blew a lot of steam, right? And he realized, man, I really don't have the courage. That's why I need to go see the wizard and get some courage. One of our greatest examples that we have in the Bible is the text that we're going to read tonight. We find that in Acts chapter 3, verses 4 through 20. Now, I'm not going to read chapter 3 and all the way through 20 for us tonight, but y'all know this story of Peter and John. And how they preached, and as they went into the temple, there was a man there, and he needed something. He needed some help. And what did he tell him? Peter said that, "What I have, I'll give it to you. I don't have..." Let's just read. I'm going to read that to you real quick. Verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer in the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, 'Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you.'" Isn't that great? "Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ." What we have to give is Jesus. And they were stopped from talking about Jesus. Well, that's what some people thought. You can't stop people who are truly believers of Jesus Christ from speaking about Jesus Christ and the wonderful things He's done. If you'll stand, we'll read chapter 4, verses 13 through 20. That's where we're going to be at tonight, verses 13 through 20. Now when they saw that the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For indeed that notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Man, that is great. What God does, people see, and it cannot be denied. Verse 17, "But so that it spreads no farther among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard." Brother Lance, would you pray for us, please? Amen. You may be seated. Now we see in verse 13 of chapter 4, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated common men." Uneducated common men. And this wasn't a compliment by no means. They thought that they really were nobodies. People that didn't amount to anything. They were surprised. The leaders of the Jewish people were surprised and they were confused about the things that were going on. They looked at Peter and John, and they were just typical people. Just like you. Typical people. Peter and John were typical people with extraordinary confidence. Anybody in here have extraordinary confidence? Anybody in here have just confidence? Some days I have confidence, and some days I don't. It depends on what it is. But one thing that they did see in Peter and John, it says in verse 13, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. They may not have given them another thought, but they knew that they had been with Jesus. But how did they know this? Well, I can tell you right now, it wasn't because of their education. Peter and John had no formal religious training that they thought mattered. I'm going to tell you, the years they spent with Jesus, that's formal. And that's religious to what Jesus had to teach and the truth. It wasn't their credentials. They didn't have any. Fishermen, common men, they didn't have anything that they thought was important. It wasn't their religious pedigree. They didn't have one of those either. But what it was that they saw, that they could tell that they had been with Jesus, it was in their spirit-filled boldness that was born out of knowing Jesus. They knew Jesus personally. They knew who He was. They knew what His death and burial and resurrection meant. And it gave them boldness. So I'm going to ask you tonight, do you know what His death, burial, and resurrection means? If you do, you should be bold. You should have boldness about you. Let's consider the context that we find Peter and John. We start off with it. Peter and John went to the temple to pray. That's what they started off with today. They went to the temple to pray. And as they entered, Peter and John healed a crippled man at the temple. Was it Peter and John that healed him? It was God. God healed the crippled man. Now, when a crowd gathers, what does good preachers decide they want to do? Peter seizes the moment and started preaching the gospel. Do y'all seize the moment and start preaching the gospel? It's a good question for me also. After they were arrested, they were thrown in jail, and Peter addresses the religious leaders in chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And thinking about what he said, it helps to remember one key fact when he's addressing them in verses 1 through 12. He was addressing and standing in front of the people who murdered Jesus Christ. I want y'all to think about that for just a second. When Peter looks at them and he speaks to them, verse 4 it says, however many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men who came to be about 5,000. You see, that's what happened. People believed when he spoke. And it came to pass the next day that the rulers, in verse 5 of chapter 4, elders and scribes, as well as Annas and Ananias, the high priest, Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and many that were with the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and people and elders of Israel, I know what you've done. You put my Savior on the cross. I know what you've done. I know what's in your heart. Now, that's not what the Scripture says, but he's standing in front of them and he knows this. Rulers and people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He preached to the people who put Jesus on trial. He preached to the people who hung Jesus on the cross and told them there is nobody else but through this guy is there salvation. Jesus whom you crucified, Jesus whom you raised, I mean, whom God raised. You see, Peter spoke with meaning. What he had to say had meaning. There is no salvation in anyone else. You see, the religious leaders couldn't figure them out. They couldn't deny what had been done by God. And they couldn't deny that Peter and John were filled with something they didn't understand, and they were bold. What they couldn't understand is, don't you know who we are? Don't you see all of our families here? Don't you see this throng? You're standing in front of people who matter. And they couldn't understand why Peter and John weren't intimidated at all. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you've been with Jesus and you've been with the one true God, there ain't nobody on this world, in this entire planet, that can intimidate you. Because Jesus is on your side. And Peter and John knew that. They knew that no matter what they thought about them, their secret that they were telling everybody, it wasn't just something they were keeping to themselves, but their secret, what caused them to dare to speak freely, was Jesus Christ. When the religious leaders considered all the facts, they still came to one simple conclusion. And that simple conclusion was, they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. No factor is more important for us to consider today than with all the signs and all the diminishing things that are happening in our culture. We have to wonder why Christians have lost influence in society. It's because of this reason. We become intimidated as Christians. Sometimes we forget who's standing with us and on our side. Peter and John did not forget that. Didn't forget who Jesus was and what he meant. The disciples had been with Jesus and they knew him intimately, and that changed everything. Often we are not good judges of our own influence. Others will see things about us we do not see about ourselves. But there's one thing for sure about Peter and John. They didn't go around going, "We've been with Jesus. Hey, look at us. We've been with Jesus. Don't you understand who we are?" That's not what they did. They spoke about Jesus. They lived a life. You know, even if they had said, "Hey, we've been with Jesus," that would have been true. And it wouldn't have been boasting. But they didn't say anything like that. The world never understands people like Peter and John. They never understand people that want to be bold. I can tell you these men that I read in the Declaration of Independence, those people on the other side of the water didn't understand what was going on. There was even people in this country that didn't understand what they were trying to do. Praise God that they had the strength to stand. Praise God for Peter and John for having the strength to stand. Peter and John were doing what Christians should always do. They were ready to give an answer, for there was a hope that was in them. Are you ready to give an answer because there's a hope that is in you? They gave an answer and it got them in trouble. That's what we're worried about, right? Giving answers, speaking up for ourselves and speaking up for our Savior, it getting us in trouble. Peter and John didn't care about that. Acts chapter 4, verse 2, it gives the exact problem and pinpoints the exact issue. You see, the Sadducees and the priest and the captain of the temple and everything, verse 2 of chapter 4 said, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. It disturbed them. They didn't know what to do. See, the Jewish leaders, I love this version. It says, they were greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They were annoyed. Raise your hand if you like to annoy people. No, don't do that. Sometimes I like to annoy people. Don't you? No? Oh, don't shake your head, Michael. All of us can be annoying at one time or another, right? Yes, thank you. Thank you, Brother Doug. Not you, okay. But we can be. You see, they simply told the truth, and it annoyed people. It also led people to Jesus. Remember what I said? The number of the men that came to be saved were about 5,000. See, the people that did not want to believe, the people who did not want to see Jesus for who He was, it annoyed them. And the people who saw Jesus for who He was and who they are, it changed them. And that is something that we need to understand about the gospel. It changes lives when people actually listen to it. You know, so the simple truth is, you crucified Jesus, God raised Him from the dead. And that's bold, and that's powerful, and that's courage. And that's what we need, is to be bold and powerful and have courage. This was not just something that happens. This is obedience. Here's the response in verse 4. Many of those who had heard and believed were 5,000 that were saved. And look at the sequence of events that happened throughout this. There was obedience from Peter and John. The miracle happened. They preached. Thousands were saved. They came and arrested them. And they had boldness under pressure. They started out praying to God. And by the time the day was over with and the next day, God had given them boldness. And many people were saved. No wonder their enemy said, "These men have been with Jesus." No, Peter was kind of shaky sometimes, right? He was kind of chewed his mouth off, but he became solid as a rock throughout all of this and throughout his life. No higher compliment can be paid to a child of God. It's for people to look at you and go, "You've been with Jesus." I want people to see that in me. Father, I'm sorry for the days that people don't. I truly am. Because there are days that people can't find Jesus in me. And I'm sure if you looked at yourself, you would see the same things. Because we are human. We are sinners. We need the gospel to change us. The gospel will change our lives. It will change our hearts. And I need to hear the gospel every day. Because there's a lot of times my heart needs to be changed every day so it isn't hardened to the people I'm around. There's three things that will ensure that you have courage in 2022. Y'all all want to have courage in 2022, right? The first one is, be known for confidence. That's what Peter and John, they were known throughout this for confidence. No matter the circumstance that happens in your life, be confident in who you belong to and who you represent. Peter and John were filled with boldness, and it doesn't have to stop with Peter and John. It can continue with you and continue with me. And in 2022, I want to be known for confidence. Not confidence in Kelly Roach, but confidence in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And that's the way Peter and John were. The second thing is, be known for telling the truth. Whew. Wouldn't that be great if everybody was known for telling the truth? And nobody ever lied again. Nobody ever stretched things where they make them fit where they feel safe. Be known for telling the truth. It annoyed everybody that James and John told the truth. But it's the truth that Jesus Christ saved. And there's nothing that you can do to change that. Jesus Christ saves. Only Him and Him alone. No matter who you're speaking with, tell the truth. Sometimes we go, well, the truth hurts too much. I really don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Well, if you don't tell them about Jesus and that they're a sinner, feelings is not the only thing that's going to be hurt. Peter confronted those that hated Jesus. Confronted those. Y'all see how Peter confronted those, right? He came after them with pitchforks and bats and everything else. No. He just looked at them and said, let it be known to all you that y'all are the ones that put Him on the cross. He's the one that you rejected. That's what He said. He said, you did this. Now, that's tough. I don't like that word, you, right? If I'm officiating a basketball game and the coach looks at me and he says, you, he uses that pronoun, guess what happens? I take offense to it. And you makes it personal. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, the gospel is personal. It applies to every one of us. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We all need Jesus. That wasn't confrontational, was it? Peter and John did things the way they should be done. Peter told them that there is salvation and no one else. The third thing for you to ensure that you have courage in 22 is be known for being with Jesus. Be known for being with Jesus. No matter how ordinary you are, be with Jesus. You got that right? No matter how ordinary you are, be with Jesus. I'm not real sure. There's people I respect. There's people that I hold in high esteem. There's offices in this land that have more weight than the last name of Roach will ever have. But when it comes down to the fact that who Jesus loves, there's nobody higher than me. And there's nobody higher than you. Jesus Christ loves us all the same. Completely the same. No matter how ordinary you are, be with Jesus. Because of Peter and John's boldness, they knew that they had been with Jesus. Everybody that they came in contact, whether they liked it or not, knew that they had been with Jesus. That's a simple thing for us, right? As we go through 2022, we have a choice, a decision to make. We can either let people know that without saying that we've been with Jesus, let them know that we've been with Jesus, or let them think that we don't even know who He is. I would rather choose for people to just see me, to see my actions, to hear the words that I speak, and know that I've been with Jesus. Peter and John weren't waving any flags, but they weren't backing down either. Jesus is the Savior of all men. The only Savior of all men. He is the only hope we have in 2022. There's nothing else. If we're looking for anything else in this year, we've missed Jesus Christ. Be bold with His name. Be bold with the things that He's done for you. Each and every one of you, whether you realize it or not, you have courage to get through this year if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you're here tonight, then your courage is lacking because you don't have anybody standing in your corner. Nobody there with you. Nobody that you can speak powerfully about. And tonight, I want to offer you that opportunity to come know Jesus as your personal Savior. What a great way to start 2022 off by saying, "Yes, Jesus, I want You in my life. I need You in my life. I'm a sinner, and I know that You have died for me, and Your blood covers those sins. And I want to spend the rest of my life and all of eternity serving You." What better way to start 2022? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You for allowing us to be here in Your house tonight. Father, we thank You for all that You've done for us and for this new year that You have given us, a year that we can be filled with courage, but Father, filled with courage that is for You, not for our own gain or our own things that will make us better. Father, let us be filled with the things that will honor and glorify You. Father, I love You and I praise You. In Your name I pray. Amen.